Today on Real Radio.
And this message has got to be told to you here first, because as you'll hear today, there are many concepts, thoughts, aberrant, watch my fingers, Christian thinking out there that is not biblical.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. God's written word is for our learning on so many levels: his attributes, his nature, his plan of salvation for his people, our sinful condition, which cries out for our need for redemption, and so forth. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God.
What is it that you believe? It is not right, appropriate, or healthy for you to get one more sermon under your belt and walk out of the church and put a notch in your belt, as it were, and say, well, Lord, I went to church today. Unacceptable to God. Unacceptable to God. If we say we're Christians, meaning that we're a Christ follower, what you believe based upon what you declare, and what you declare by being a Christian and what you believe, must be in perfect harmony with the very creator of salvation. That's the Lord God himself. And this message has got to be told to you here first, because as you'll hear today, there are many concepts, thoughts, aberrant, watch my fingers, Christian thinking out there that is not biblical. And your emotions will grab onto what you feel, and it will trump what you are to know. And ladies and gentlemen, church family, what you know determines what you believe, and what you believe determines your eternal destination. You can be very religious, you can even say you're a follower of Jesus, and miss heaven by 18 inches. Do you know what that means? The distance between your head and your heart is 18 inches. And this is a very critical thing. I am going to do everything I can to combat the carnality, false doctrine, and the trend of many pulpits in America today to embrace compromise in this light of being relevant. If we are going to be relevant based upon Jesus' heart and his Bible, then we will be true, we will be biblical, and we will not apologize for what God has said. We will state it clearly, not without love, but knowing that it's his truth that brings someone to faith. It's his truth that delivers someone who is on their way to hell into the wonderful, glorious presence of God in heaven. This is what we are to do. We are to proclaim the truth and not worry about what other people think. What they think should never dictate what a church believes. This is vitally important. So listen, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, as we started last week, to Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11. Now, I have to be honest. Today we are looking in part two of You Need to Know, and it's all about the revelation of God. And I thought last week we would get through the revelation of God, but we're in part two of the revelation of God regarding what you need to know, and I'm not even sure if we're going to get through that today. We'll get as far as we can. Why? You understanding what God is all about and what he requires of you is more important than us keeping some schedule. I was thinking we'd dedicate 13 weeks to this, and I'm thinking now we'll probably dedicate about 52 weeks to this, the way it's going. You say, oh man, really? Listen, you better embrace the study because this is doctrine. You may be tempted to think this is boring. This is essential. This is essential. All about the revelation of God. Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, says the apostle, knowing the time that now it is high time to, number one, wake out of sleep spiritually, become alert. And number two, why? For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And that is an awesome statement. Why is this so important? Because you and I clearly are living in very challenging days. And the church has never been as old as it is this morning. The church has never been as close to it getting raptured up and going on to heaven than we are today. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "expressly says that in the latter times some," make sure it's not you, "will depart from the faith." Why? How? "Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Both of those warnings, deceiving spirits, church, and doctrines of demons, both of them, it's kind of obvious to figure this out, come from the father of lies, Satan. They are doctrines, listen, they are doctrines that will be prevalent, popular, well-received in the last days by the majority. Did you hear that? Don't let it be you. We have these warnings. And how is this deception? How are these doctrines of demons manifested? How would we recognize them? Obviously, by us in this series, you and I knowing biblical doctrine. But listen and look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. "But know this," oh, that strong warning again, like in Romans. "Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." The word perilous means times where evil will wear down people, like a plane. Is it a plane or a planer? The thing that you, the wood? Planer? Just taking a log and making it into a toothpick is what evil wants to do against the church. "For men will be lovers of themselves." True or false? Is that true or false?
True.
Lovers of money. True or false?
True.
Boasters. True or false?
True.
Proud? Yep. Blasphemers? Oh, wow. Disobedient to parents? Unthankful, unholy. When I'm done reciting these vows, just say I do. I mean, come on. Unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, Hollywood. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is terrifying. Verse 5, having a form of going to church and being very spiritual, but denying its power. That is denying the person of the Holy Spirit. "From such people, turn away." Why? Eternity's on the line. It is incumbent upon you to know Bible doctrine. Bible doctrine determines how you view the world, what you listen to, what you watch, what you do in life. Bible doctrine. And the Bible says those who have a form of godliness, who are haughty, boastful, proud, that they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, but they go to church on Sunday. The Bible says reject them. Remove yourself from them. This is a very serious call. You see, Jack, that's very serious. Eternity is very serious. This show is not going to last forever, my friends. And what you believe and how you live based upon what you believe matters. I've never been more thankful to God for what He has given us in His Word than right now in life. Man, you look around the world, I made a joke the other day to staff. I said, you know, I keep reading these ISIS publications, the Islamic State, and they're going to conquer the world. We're going to take the world. We want the world. And I'm looking at the world, Ebola, economic failure, rioting, disease, all this stuff. And I just concluded, let them have it. You want it? Have it. This is not the world I want. Make no mistake about it. This is not the world you want. Jesus has got to come back and fix the world. Think of that. No, you can have this world. I'm not of this world. I'm of a different world, and so are you. But God knows everything in advance. You're not here by accident. The stuff that's going around in our world, you're not here because somehow it's gotten out of control. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, "For I am God, there is no other." That means all of who He is and what He is, as we'll be looking at today, and what He knows and His names, there's only one. "I am God, and there is none like me." Here's His attribute. "Declaring the end from the beginning." I tell you the finish before the start happens. "And from ancient times, things that are not yet done." Next verse, Isaiah 42, 9. "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." God knows the future. He knows everything. And you need to rest in that. And then just to make a strong point. Who is this one God who knows everything in advance? John 13:19. Jesus said, I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am He. Isn't that awesome? Pretend we're Pentecostals and say, amen.
Amen.
Yes. So here we go. This is where we started and left off last time. You need to know all about the revelation of God, and we're looking at who is God, the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is unique and set apart from all other gods that have been claimed by man. We saw last time that the God of the Bible is God the Lord. Remember that. If you were not here, mark it down. That He is the Lord, that His very name, Y-A-H, Yah, root to Yahweh, Jehovah, that He is the God who has a name. God is His title, but His name is Yah, or Yahweh, or Jehovah. He's got a name, because why? He's a person. He can be known. He can be experienced. He's the God that says, I want you to know me. And we saw these great attributes about the God of the Bible, unlike any other God that is held by the God of Islam or the God of Hinduism or the gods of Hinduism or whatever it may be, or Buddhism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, go on and on. He's altogether unique. The God of the Bible is the God who is omniscient. He knows everything. We looked at that. Number two, the God of the Bible is the God that is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He is everywhere. And we ended on this point of who He is, that He is the God that is everywhere. And as a Christian, think of it right now. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hand just for fun. Go ahead. It's a beautiful sight. The Bible says that wherever you go, God is with you. He never leaves you or forsakes you. How does He do that? And how is He that He's right here in this service? And when you go, He's going to go with you. And when you get home, He's going to be there. He's the God that is all present, the Bible says. He's everywhere. And we looked at verses regarding that. But I wanted to give you the last few verses that we didn't make it to last week. John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And he asked Martha, do you believe this? Jesus is saying, I'm not only the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, but this promise goes to every believer that he's with us. Awesome. John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. Salvation demands that the Lord be in and upon the believer. God says this. So what does it say that? John 16:7. And Jesus said, that is to us, to all, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the name for the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. The promise of God. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in the believer, and at the same time, God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. That's the God you serve. Others don't have this God. We are so spoiled to have such a God. We are so blessed. So here we go. Mark it down. This is new to your notes because we haven't come this way before. You need to know that the God of the Bible is the God who is omnipotent. He is the all-powerful God. Omnipotent meaning all power belongs to Him. I'm going to give you a lot of verses, so hang on. Revelation 19:6. The Bible says that He's all-powerful. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God, what? Omnipotent reigns. The angelic and heavenly host collective praise is that the God of the Bible is all powerful. That means there's nothing He cannot do. And I like that. Can He save you from your sins? Yes. Can He pay your mortgage? Yes. Can He heal your child? Yes. He's all powerful. We yield to His power. We submit to His will. Listen, God may or may not heal your child. You may or may not get your mortgage payment paid. He can do all, but listen, He has all power to do it. We submit to his will. Not my will, but thy will be done. But he's the all-powerful God. Altogether awesome. Haggai. When's the last time you read the book of Haggai? See, Pastor, I just read it this morning. Then good. Haggai 2:6 tells us. Haggai 2:6 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts," that is the Lord of armies, heavenly armies, "yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." God did that once before. He's going to do it again. Wow. How can he do that? He's all powerful. That's power. What do we see when we look at creation and the physical universe around us? What do you think when you look at a rose or a bird or the heavens? That's power. I believe that God is constantly displaying to us his power. We need to slow down, everybody. We need to slow down. Take a look at what we would call the simple things. Those simple things are so profound, they scream the power of God's ability to announce to us, "I made those trees." You know, we get so full of ourselves. I can do this, we can do this, we can do the other thing. We can put a man in a can and ship him off to the moon. Look what we can do. You know what? You can't do any of that unless you rely upon the very sciences that God first of all gave us. It's the laws of science, which are examples of God's fingerprints at work, God's hand at work. Whatever we do, we've got to bow humbly that we were not the first ones. God has done this. In the midst of America being so godless and so anti-God, he's so good. Did you know that we are now the number one natural gas producing nation in the world? Did you know that we have nearly 300 years of natural gas? When you think of oil producing nations in the world, who do you think of? We beat Saudi Arabia now. Did you know that? You didn't hear that, have you? That's the news. That's real. That's happening. Why do I bring this up? That happens by the power of God, and I'm embarrassed because he's still being good to us as a nation. God's power. And it goes on and on. The air you breathe. This amazing day that we're having already so early. That's the power of God. Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare," the word is shouts, "the glory of God. And the firmament," that's the starry sky, "shows or displays his handiwork," his engineering. Isn't that true? You have to be an astrophysicist to discover the engineering of God in the heavens. Day and today they utter their speech, that is, they're sending out information, technology, the heavens. "And night unto night they revealed knowledge," a design. "There is no speech nor language," that is the word revelation, "where their voice, testimony, is not heard." What does that mean? God is saying in Psalm 19, any knucklehead who looks up in the sky would naturally conclude, wow, God's amazing. Think of it. You've got to be polluted and told another story that God didn't do that. Children seem to naturally know that. The heavens declare the glory of God. It does not display an accident, but design. The all-powerful God. That's power. In light of that, here's power. Colossians 1, 15 and 17. Colossians 1, 15 says, "He," Jesus, "is the image of the invisible God," that is the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, "the firstborn, preeminent one over all creation. For by him all things were created." Everybody look at that. Did you get that? Jesus Christ is the creator of all things created. What things? Things that are in heaven, things that are on earth. Invisible things, visible and invisible things. Jesus, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, authorities both on earth and angelic powers, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Listen, anybody in school, verse 17, I love this. Colossians 1:17. By him, Jesus, all things consist. The word is they're glued together. By him, all things are glued together. Listen, nobody knows how the universe stays together right now. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what, quote, the atomic glue is. They've named it the atomic glue. Nobody knows what holds it together. Did you know that? No scientist knows. They have a theory now. They've come out with one, and it's gravity. They said gravity holds it together. Gravity is a very complex thing. Here's the deal. Gravity. Gravity holds it together, they say, but who engineered gravity to hold it together? The Bible says, Colossians 1:17, Jesus did. That's power. That's power. That's the God you serve. Now, all of a sudden, you say, how do I take this home? Who cares about this? That's the God who saves you. That's the God who will be with you. That's the God whose doctrine we need to make sure we understand. He's awesome. Here's some more power. You want power? Here's some power. I'm reminded, and I told you guys before in Israel, whenever you see the Nigerian Christians in Israel, ask them, hey, what's power? And they'll say, they're beautiful. They're all dressed up in their tribal clothes, and they're touring Israel. And they'll say, Jesus' power, superpower. Satan's power, powerless power. Isn't that great? Jesus' power, superpower. Here's some superpower right here, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. This is the second coming, when he comes back to earth to stay. Even though those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen, says the Bible. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. He who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. That's power. God is all power, the God of the Bible. Romans 8, verse 11, Romans 8:11. But if the power of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that is the Christian, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells where? In you. Are you a Christian today? Yes. The Holy Spirit in your life is the power of God to not only raise you from the dead, the guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit is the one who raised Jesus from the dead on that Sunday morning. Romans 8:11. That's power. You serve the all-powerful God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God. It's a look at those scripture passages that give us insight into the essentials of our faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, last week we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's fascinating verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians. Now, we've had a lot of Real Radio listeners getting in touch by phone and emailing, asking about it, so we want to do something for you. Here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. Let me say that again. We'll send you all of the MP3s of the entire series of 2 Corinthians, all on one USB drive, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Call, click, or write. Just mention it by name. 2 Corinthians on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.